welcome everybody to Very Average Gaming. For those of you who listen to us regularly, I'm sure you have noticed that the last couple weeks have been a little different. This week will also be a little different as well. We are specifically covering just Diablo 4. Starting next week, the podcast will go back to the original format since school is now over and the free time needed for that format is available again. Trust me, it's been a freaking crazy 3 weeks. So with that, this is episode 39 of Very Average Gaming, the Diablo 4 episode.
So basically what he's saying is we're going to try some new stuff.
So we're officially roughly halfway through the game. Both of us are level, you know, so we thought it would be a good time.
We're level, you know?
Yeah, we're level 50 out of 100 cap. So we thought it'd be a good time to go over our thoughts of so far the Diablo 4 with a special episode being recorded later on after we cap at level 100 and finally complete the story.
Yes.
Right. So a brief explanation of Diablo in case some of you have yet to play any version of this game is it's a top-down like action RPG button masher, right? How would you describe it, Cotter?
It's a button masher hack and slash with spells.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to put it, right? So we'll go over some of the classes, some of the cool gear and stuff that you could do, and just kind of a brief explanation, and then at the end, we'll give each of our thoughts of what we think of the game so far.
Basically, at the end of the day, heaven and hell are fighting, and you're caught in the middle of it as the player.
There you go. Simple story solution. So basically, this game, for the first time in a long time with Blizzard and Activision, had a very relatively smooth launch.
It did.
I was very shocked because like we had no load times, no queue times. We kind of got right in and we were able to play right away.
One time I had like a 12 minute queue time. I think it was just because it was at a very like the time of day that it was. Other than that, I haven't had any issue. When we did because me and Will both got the early access, and even in early access, we didn't have any issues. The only problem was in early access was when the game released, they had the first day or two, there were like login issues, which they patched within a day. It was done. They got on top of that really quick. I was impressed by that.
Yeah, I know. I had that one issue in early access where we were teleporting from like a dungeon or something to town after we had completed it. And the my load screen just wouldn't like, and it happened again a couple days ago where I was in the game, but Diablo was saying I wasn't in the game.
Last night.
So
it was weird too, because you said you got kicked from the game, but I'm in the dungeon staring at your character.
So, you know, but it's a few and far between issue. So like it hasn't happened very frequently, and it's once in a blue moon that it's been happening. What I think is pretty cool is the we'll go over it first, is the character customization and augments.
Yes.
There are microtransactions to buy cosmetics, as with almost every single game now. But there are a decent amount in the game to make your character very unique.
Yes. Basically, what you can do in the game is you can take gear to the blacksmith, which we'll get into him later. And basically, you can break down the gear. And upon breaking down the gear, not only will you get materials from breaking down the thing, but it'll say up in like the corner, it'll say new transmog unlocked. You can then go to your little area by your stash, open it up, and you can select different looks for your character. Like you have your helmet, your chest piece, and so on. And what's really cool is you get a lot of them. Yes, they have the battle pass, and they're going to do the whole seasonal thing and all that stuff. But I feel that there is enough really cool looking armor pieces in the game to make you not have to buy anything. A lot of the armor pieces and stuff that, like, especially when you start getting like some of the legendary items, some of them look really cool.
They do. And what's cool is you can actually change the colors of them too.
Yes, you can change the color and look of them, which I think is, it just even adds more to it.
Yeah, it definitely does. And like it's knowing that they have microtransactions in the game, the variety that I think that they have offered so far is actually pretty cool, because you would think that they would go a little less on that, hoping that people would just spend money. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually been really nice, the amount that they actually give you, and it doesn't feel like you're being forced to go right to the transactions.
Yeah,
which I'm one of the believers of not doing that, because I feel a lot of gaming companies these days are just pushing more for the microtransactions as opposed to a finished polished game. So I usually don't go anything near. Now if they award me like in Call of Duty, they have the COD points or whatever. Now if you want to award me whatever currency that you can use in that store, I'll go buy stuff if you're going to give it to me. But other than that, I ain't going to waste my money. I spend $80 on the game. I'm not going to spend more on it.
Yeah, I agree. I hear you. I get the, I'm the same way.
That's just, if you want to make it free to play, maybe I'll think about buying a few things.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to look at it, right?
But since you're going to make me pay that much for a game, I mean, you didn't make me. I mean, we got the premium one just because we wanted early access.
It's been a 3-week block.
But there's three levels. There's the 71, the 89, 91, and the 99 one. I don't remember all the names of the different bundles, but me and him, I got the middle one just for the early access. Yeah,
for the early access, exactly. You know, and then speaking of like the blacksmith, like you were saying, being able to break down gear, there are numerous vendors throughout. You know, not every town has every vendor, but you know, the majority of the bigger towns do. And, you know, there's obviously the weapons and armors dealer. There's an alchemist, the jeweler who sells the rings and amulets. And some of the jewelers, you can modify the gems that you find into better gems, which is, we'll get into that. It's expensive.
I know. I did it again this morning. That was 100K gold.
Obviously, the blacksmith. There's a person called a purveyor of curiosities, which you can buy. It's like a lottery system. Vendor. Yeah, it's current. You get special tokens for doing certain world events, and you have to use these tokens to. It's like a lottery where you can get an awesome piece of gear from her, or a piece of garbage.
Yeah,
it's hit or miss.
However, you do get the what are those things called? The little tokens.
Oh, the oblets.
The obols or something. You can get them from events. You can get them from doing certain quests. You can get them from clearing dungeons. You can get them a myriad of different ways. It's really cool that they give you a lie, but you know, different, like a ring is going to cost more obols than like a one-handed sword or something like that. But you definitely get enough of them. That's definitely not a problem when it comes to that. As long as you like going around and doing like world events or the call to arms or dungeon events where you go in and you have to fight off a couple waves of enemies, stuff like that. So, like Will said, like you could get a white, you know, piece of garbage, or you can get a legendary. The legendary drop rate is actually pretty good, though.
Yeah, I would agree with that, right?
Probably about 1 in 5. 1 in 5 you get a legendary.
You know, whether or not you can use all those legendaries, as I've found out, is another story, but at least you're getting them.
Yeah.
You know,
so, I mean, even if you can't use the bonus thing on them for your build, generally it's still an upgrade to what you will have at the time.
Yeah. There's the stable master, which is obviously the ability to ride mounts. We have yet to get there.
Yeah, we're not there in the story yet.
Yeah. And then there's the healer, which obviously heals you and also replaces any of your outstanding potions. And the occultist, which allows you to take off the special abilities from weapons and add them to new weapons, or add ones that you have found from dungeon crawling and add them to gear that you already own.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's really cool how they did that with this. Like each dungeon has its own aspect that you can unlock. Some of them are for the rogue, some of them are for the sorcerer or whatever, barbarian, you know, so you can just go around and unlock. So it actually gives you a reason to go around and do the dungeons, even though most of the dungeons you will visit for quests and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, but what's cool is that when you unlock it the first time, it unlocks for your whole account. So that this way, like, let's say, like, if you're playing like a barbarian right now and you want to go through the dungeon for the like a druid aspect, if you go to go play as a druid, then you can use that aspect on your druid's gear.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I like how everything is like account oriented, not character oriented. That's one of the big things I like about this version.
To add on to that, the only thing I don't like is something that Blizzard has implemented from their World of Warcraft game. The whole, like, certain weapons and gear and stuff are, like, account bound. I really hate that. That should not be in Diablo. Because the whole point is making your character as strong as possible and tweaking them out to, you know, be as strong as possible. And I feel like that kind of negates it a little bit, because you can't transfer items between different characters, like different players and stuff like that, because they're account bound.
Well, I found that the only items that I seem to have been account bound, so to speak, are ones you get from quests.
Yeah.
I think if you find anything in the wild, some of them, I think if you equip it, then you might become account bound, but that's like in Warcraft, obviously, as well. But I think only received quest items are 100% account bound.
Yeah, but even that, if I can help you upgrade something,
oh, definitely.
Because like, I mean, I get non class specific items all the time.
Yeah, me too.
And if they're account bound, I can't give them to you. So it's like, and it could be an upgrade for you. So it's like that's one thing I have an issue with for the most part.
Yeah,
but other than that, I mean. You can't really, the amount of stuff that you can like find and do in this game so far is like ridiculous.
Yeah. So let's get into the nitty gritty, right? So like basically there's five classes to choose from. Most of them are some form of another of most of the classes used throughout the first three Diablo games.
Yep. Right.
There's the Barbarian, which is he's the quintessential tank.
He's pretty much like the Barbarian from the last two games.
Yeah.
He's got the Whirlwind. He can slam around the big two-handed weapons. You know, he can make bleed effects and do all kind of crazy stuff like that.
And he's a hit sponge.
I would say the Druid's a little more of a hit sponge, but yeah.
Yeah, no, okay. Then there's the Druid, which seems to be like, I think that's the one of the least popular classes being played right now.
Because technically, out of all the classes, while the Druid, from what I'm hearing from people saying, is the Druid is the most fun to play, but as far as overall like abilities and stuff like that, they're the weakest of the characters.
Okay, that makes sense.
So they tend to deal like when me and you play, like I'll be sitting there, like even like a basic enemy, like I'll be sitting there and fighting them and this and then you walk up and kill them like in half the time I do. where I have found that the Druid shines is when they're swarmed and doing CC and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Because like the Druid can fortify their health. Generally, when they fortify their health, they deal out more damage. They can stun everybody. He's got the one ability where he can disable everybody. I can't think of the name, the word right now, but he could basically like immobilize a bunch of people. And then that actually synergizes great with your rogue class, because then you can come in and do the extra damage for that while they're stunned.
Yes. You know, and then that's what the next point is, the rogue character class, which is pretty much the Diablo 2's assassin, in a sense. I think they took the rogue from World of Warcraft.
Go ahead.
I was going to say.
We'll edit that one out.
Right. So I was going to say that, you know, from playing World of Warcraft as a rogue, like rogue was my main class in World and WoW, and they carried over the class pretty close to the way it's played in WoW. So it was like a very easy transition for me to pick up the rogue and go, where I prefer the rogue on the controller over the mouse and keyboard. But mm-hmm. the way I can have it set up is with between his imbuements with poison and, you know, the daggers with the quick attack speed, I can like mow through enemies. The only downside is I don't get a lot of health and my armor is really low. Like,
yeah,
unfortunately, because, you know,
yeah,
it's a rogue.
To add on to that, pretty much for anybody that has played the series before, the rogue is pretty much a combination of the Demon Hunter from 3 and the Assassin from 2. That seems to be like the combination that they went with those two. Because he could come in and do a bunch of damage in this, but also you have a lot of bow abilities and ranged abilities. Yes. And stuff like that. So that's why I said it. I feel like it's a cross like that. And then I feel like the Druid is kind of like the Druid from 2, sort of. with the shape shifting and stuff like that. But then I also feel like he's a lot like the monk from 3.
Okay. I guess it's fair. There's the Necromancer, which that neither of us have played the Necro yet. So, right? You haven't given him a chance?
No.
No.
No, but from what I understand, he's one of the more powerful characters.
Yes, definitely is. There's a lot of, I see a lot of Necromancers floating around playing while we play.
I mean, partially, I think he's going to be the third character I play just because I want to run around with a giant scythe like they use.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And last but not least is the Sorcerer, which is obviously your quintessential black mage. I started a Pyro Sorcerer, and they're powerful, man. I mean, granted, I could die in like 6 hits, but boy, are they powerful. You keep everyone at bay. You got firewalls, fireballs, you know, and...
Yeah. You can basically go one of 3 ways with the Sorcerer: lightning, ice, and fire.
Yeah.
From everything I've heard from different people playing the Sorcerer is that lightning seems to be the least popular.
Oh, really? I wonder why.
Probably because of what the abilities don't look as cool as the fire and ice.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I noticed that it was pretty cool that when like I would kill enemies with the fireball and stuff, that like their bodies would char up. Like that's how detailed the game is. Like it like you like, burn them. Oh my god.
Even when you're running out in the world, like you'll be in like these heavy areas where there's like waist deep snow, and like as you run through it, like it leaves behind where you ran through it. Like it's real. They go into a lot of detail on this. The game design and the sound effects and stuff like that. They knocked it out of the ballpark in this.
Yes, and then also the with each class, obviously, since it is an RPG, comes with their skill tree, and I like the way that they did this skill tree with this game. Like it's pretty interesting, but it makes a lot of sense. And the ability to respec doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. So if you screw up or mess up, you can either actually respec your entire character, or they actually give you the ability to just take 1 or 2 points out of certain things.
Yeah.
And add to others.
That seems to be really well as far as like not costing anything. If you do a full respec, the more you do it, the more expensive it gets.
No, I think it's the same cost every time. But I think the more points you have used, the more expensive it is.
That's the whole thing. So, of course, that's what I mean. Like, so the more you go up in level, the more points you're going to use. So as you go up in level, the more expensive it gets.
In the past, it used to be every time you would respec, no matter what level you were at, the cost would go up.
Well, and two, you can only respec once per playthrough.
Yeah.
So you had to pick it. The skill trees in this one, while I think when you first start playing the game, because you see the sheer amount of abilities that are on those skill trees, so it kind of comes off as very overwhelming at first. But I feel like once you get a couple points in it and you figure out how the skill tree actually works, you pick pretty much one ability from each node that you feel is going to help your character build. And then you just build from there and go into the secondary nodes, which can add effects to the primary skill that you take. And then there's also little enhancer nodes once you get all the primary stuff out of the way to help reinforce those ability.
Yeah, well, I've noticed that like from my experience with it, I have actually 2 rogue characters, right? One is hand-to-hand, strictly hand-to-hand combat. And the other one is strictly bow and arrows. Like, I traps and bow and arrows, distance. And it's pretty cool because, like, you look through your skill tree and you're like, you know what, okay. In the first group, it's like you could do 1 of, like, 4 attacks. 2 of them are arrow-based, bow and arrow-based, and 2 of them are sword or dagger-based. And you pick out which one you want to do based on how you think you're going to play your character. And then, like you said, then it goes to the next set of, after you do a couple of points in that, it unlocks the next group of attacks and stuff. And then you would look and say like, all right, you know what? As a rogue in the second group, there's 2 more of hand to hand and there's 2 more of distance. Then you go to the third one, and the third one is the imbuement. So you can do either throw poison traps on the ground or poison your weapons. Like,
yeah, that,
and you figure out your play style, and then you can kind of, once you get, you say, once you grasp what each one kind of does, you pick five things that you're going to stick to and load them up.
That's like with the druid. You could either go, you can go straight down shape-shifting and be a complete melee tank build kind of deal.
Yeah.
Or what I did now is to help, because you're melee, it's pointless for both of us to be melee. I'm still melee, but it's hand-to-hand elemental. So I'm more of like a hybrid now. So I kind of re-spec my character to go into more of the elemental abilities and the crowd control and AOE to kind of help us.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when we get to mobs of enemies, it's not uncommon for like 40, 50 enemies to be on screen at once.
Yes, definitely. It's crazy. but we mow them down. And then I think what is there, 50, there's 54 skill points available. Or is it 56? I think because you get 49 from leveling. And then you get four from, or six from your reputation throughout the world.
Yeah, I'm not sure totally how many you get from doing that, because there's different areas.
Yeah, there's
so
you get two from each area, so that's a total of eight.
Yes, okay, so there's 58 total up.
Okay. And then after you get to level 50, you stop earning skill points for your tree, and you go into this thing called a glyph system, which
your paragon.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. Like, I started to look at it and try to figure out the path I want to go, because every level up you get to choose a glyph, and each glyph gives you like bonus stats to your character. So you want to choose a path to get to your ultimate all the way at the top to unlock the potential of your character. And I'm guessing you're going to get 50 of those, because you're going to go from 50 to 100.
Well, yeah, we'll get there eventually.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I mean,
it says it takes 150 hours to get to level 100.
From zero?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've got to be at least a third of the way into that.
I think what we have going for us is that we got to level 50 with only being like halfway through the story. So we still have a lot of the main quests left that are going to give us a ton of experience.
Yeah, and a bunch of side stuff, too.
Yeah, whereas because we did a lot of grinding, and, well, it didn't help that we'll get into the whole pairing up the playing together system, which is really what affected why we're at level 50 and we're only so far into the story.
Hey, we just finished Act 2, goddammit. We're good.
Out of, like, five, right? But basically, it's a four difficulty system that this one works on, right? So you could do with a very easy system, which you did with your barbarian, right? Which is like, you could kind of like just kind of mow through enemies, and it's more of a casual play.
The world tier system.
Yeah, the world tier, yeah. Which is tier, difficulty tier, system.
Yeah, tier one is adventure. You can set that to 1 to 50.
And then once you get to 50, you have to go to veteran?
No, because veteran only goes to one. Veteran is basically slightly more difficult. That's what me and you were playing on. That goes 1 to 50 now, too. So then once you hit 50, it goes to nightmare. Well, you could change it up to nightmare, and that's 50 to 70.
Oh, okay.
That's world tier 3 nightmare.
And then there's torment, which is 70 plus.
Yes.
And they also have the, there's a permadeath mode.
A hardcore.
Hardcore, which is, if you die, your character is forever died.
Mm-hmm.
Forever
That's
dead.
It. You're done. It's One it. Life. That's it. So for me and Will, we'd be screwed.
Oh, definitely. I think I died 20 times on that one boss. And like an idiot, I just kept going in there trying to fight her.
Oh, you talk about the one when we did the, Stronghold?
Yeah. No, not the Stronghold. The woman that gets possessed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because as a rogue, that was like, oh my god.
Yeah, you had to call me for backup. And we still had a hard time.
We still had a hard time with that one. Yeah. But the second time for you, we ran right through it. But we knew what we were doing.
We knew what we were doing. We were also higher level, too.
Yeah. The game works on, you can play mouse and keyboard or controller on PC. I'm pretty sure you can hook up a keyboard to your Xbox, your PlayStation 5. I don't know if that is possible, but I'm sure you could do it.
Xbox, I'm almost positive you can.
And I find that depending on the character is depending on how I want to play. So, like, my sorcerer, I prefer mouse and keyboard. However, the rogue, I prefer the controller. You know, it's just, I guess it's preference or based on how it just feels better to play that way.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way with my barbarian. I don't know if it's like a melee character deal.
Oh, maybe.
I do like playing my barbarian on mouse and keyboard. I think it has a lot to do with the way his rotation is. I think it's a lot easier to do the rotation because of the setup of it. On my controller for some reason, like, I'm more comfortable with the way the rotation is than on the mouse and keyboard. So.
I agree. I agree with that. Whereas it's the aiming with the sorcerer, when you want to be pinpoint with your fireballs and stuff, it's better to have the mouse and keyboard so you could click where you want to shoot,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to trying to hope that the joystick is shooting where you're aiming.
Well, I mean, you got to have a conversation with your thumb, man. You can make sure it's going the right way.
Oh, you know how I am with twin stick shooters. Come on.
It's not even twin stick.
It's close enough. You know. But so that's pretty much the basic gist of it. The game itself is like it's the first pretty much open world Diablo.
Yeah.
And the world is huge.
Massive.
I mean, you just finally finished exploring the whole thing.
Yeah. And that was after having half, like, because, like, as you're playing the game, you're going to go through some areas and stuff like that. But I would say, overall, trying to uncover the full map. Now, we don't have mounts, so I'm only basing this off of running everywhere. It took me to unlock the full map, minus places we can't go yet, because I'm assuming you can't, you have to go there for quests and stuff, so they're blocked off. Minus that, 3 to 4 days, 2 hours a day, just exploring the map. So just running through the map, like,
yeah,
trying to unlock it. You know, you got enemies on your tail the whole time. Sometimes you have to stop and kill them because there's too many getting your way. if you have a good AoE spell or a good barrier spell, that's a good time to use those. So, because you will take a lot of damage, they especially when you get into some of these areas and you deal with, like, I think the ghosts. Oh my god, the ghosts are a pain.
The wenches. Oh.
And then once you get to, like, some of these other areas where it's like they're all the enemies are, like, diseased and poisoned and stuff like that, and they deal a freaking ton of poison damage.
That's when I just use my ultimate and just whoop everyone's ass and then call it a day. When they gang up on me like that, because I don't have the armor or the hit points to deal with that, I'll die. You know, it's tough. Exploring for me is tough without killing things, because once they slow me down, I can't outrun them. They have nothing to protect me. So it's like I got to just turn around and fight them and use potions, which suck. But, you know.
You should be able to outrun them, though. You got your speed boosts and stuff.
Yeah, but if they hit me and slow me down, forget it. Because you have to realize my speed boost is with my one ability that has those floating, like, orbs around me. But each time I get hit, I lose an orb. It's like an extra wall of protection. So every time I get hit, I lose one and I get slower.
Yeah, it's kind of it kind of works similarly to the druid's cyclone armor. You get three nodes that go around you, and then as you get hit, one disappears. You get through, like, a few hits, and then it disappears.
Yeah. So within this open world, there's obviously quests and side quests and towns, but there's also dungeons. There's mini dungeons, which are like one room dungeons where you got to just fight a whole bunch of mobs. There's world events, which are pretty cool. Like, they're just events where it's like respawns, like, what, every like 2 minutes, I say.
You'll just be running through the world and you'll see on your map, you'll see like an orange circle, and you can just go to the world event. And then if you basically you get it'll tell you to like protect a convoy or something, or jar of souls, like you have to kill all the souls that come out, or like stuff like that. And then you'll get a timer. If you do it in a specific amount of time, you can get a mastery. And basically what happens is at the end, when the chest drops for you completing the mission, you will, if you get mastery, you get a better chest than you would have if just for just the regular one.
Yeah.
You'll get like a glowing gold chest as opposed to just like a regular white chest.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then there's also what's the other event? The one that like everyone can join in on.
The call to arms.
Call to arm events, which are pretty cool. Whereas like they're tough. We've yet to complete one to completion.
Wave 4 is the best one we've done so far.
We almost got it.
Even wave 4, we still got, like, I think we did one yesterday, and I still got 7 yellows.
Yeah, I got 3 legendaries out of it.
Yeah, you get a ton of stuff from it.
And that was us not even being able to complete it in, like, the mastery. That was just, we got to stage 3 or 4.
Yeah, mastery was wave 5. We got to the end of wave 4. Pretty much you have to kill a bunch of mobs and bosses, and then depending on how you do, if the timer runs out, then the main boss will spawn in the middle and you just kill him.
So, but it was cool.
And then you get all the goodies.
Yeah, you know, but I like the way the system is set up with the dungeons and stuff. Like, you know, the first run through, you kind of get a chest, and then there's the aspects on certain dungeons, and there's a ton of them. Like, there's no shortage of dungeons to run through.
No, there's not. I there's probably at least 50 to 100.
I don't know if they're procedurally generated, though. I think they're, like, the same time. It's the same one every time, right?
I think they're in the same places. It's just they just respawn. That's all. It just respawns. They just reset. The only thing that doesn't reset, pretty much, is once you unlock the aspect, that's it. Also, when you log into the game, the first time you run through a dungeon, you get given a chest as a reward. So the first time you run through the dungeon, you get a reward at the end of the dungeon.
Yeah. Instead of just a complete, well, you get like usually a chest for killing the final boss. They'll give you some good gear, but like, this is like a completion chest.
Yeah. To add one more thing onto your whole world events, there's one other thing we need to cover. This is actually something new for Diablo 4. There's something, as you're uncovering the map, you'll see a red skull and crossbones, pretty much like a skull, and pretty much it's called a stronghold.
Oh, yes.
And you'll be given different quests to go do them, or you'll just be running through the world and you'll come across them. I have found, we've done like 2 or 3 already.
They're tough.
I probably have another 6 to 10 on my map ready to go. They can be pretty much it's similar to the call to arms in the fact that you have to go around and kill a bunch of mini bosses for the big boss to spawn in the middle, but they're nowhere near as tanky as, you know, everybody in the realm coming to kill the boss. You know, they're not as tanky as that. I mean, you're talking a small party of people can take them down. I mean, Unless you're me and Will, and the one guy kills us, like
that shaman was a pain in the ass.
The reason he was so tough is because he was ice.
He was ice, yeah. He was slowing us down, and then the other one would send up the barrier, so we couldn't run away.
We couldn't run away, or he'd set it in between us, so we couldn't get to him.
And you were on a little like piece of castle that was like.
No, it was, we were up on the ledge.
The ledge, yeah, it was so big that we were all crammed into this little circle. There's not, you know, but hey, we got through it eventually. The final boss was a lot easier than that shaman.
which is funny, because they have a gigantic health bar.
With 4 stages.
Now, to add on the whole thing with us being up on the little ledge, in Diablo 4, they added a little more verticality. You can climb edges and take a look at different stuff, or jump across chasms and stuff like that to kind of get to different areas and stuff. So yeah, it's pretty cool. They added a little more interaction with the environment.
Yeah. So, you know, that's pretty much the basic, I would say, right? That's pretty much everything's covered. So now that we're halfway through, roughly, what's your final take on the game so far?
I like a lot of what they've done. I think they made the game very interactive. They have given you more than enough to do. I mean, people are like, oh, well, the level grind and this and this. Listen, the level grind is Diablo. Diablo 2, you had to play through the game three times to reach level 99. So it is what it is. But really, the only qualms I really have with the game are the weapon the skill cooldowns, and just like some of the little gameplay features like that.
Okay.
But for the most part, I love the game. I think it's very fun. It plays very smooth. I rarely lose frames unless there's a ton of enemies on the game or we're in like Cabochon or whatever, if there's a lot of players there. But that's pretty much it. Like, I mean, they give you so many things to do. Every town's got side quests. Every little area's got 15, 20 dungeons to go through, or you'll just be running around and there's no shortage of world events to do. And when the call to arms comes on, you'll see that there's a little glyph. When there's a call of arms, it'll appear on your map as a little glyph, and you have like 5 minutes to get there to be able to participate in it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Right. So far, my take on this is I haven't been this excited to play a game in a really long time. And I don't mean excitement as in, oh, it came out, I got to play it. I mean excitement as in, like, I started playing it and I want to continue to play it. And I don't know if it's because it scratches the World of Warcraft, like, itch, so to speak. Like, it plays very similar to that. I think it plays closer to that than an old school Diablo. It's a cross.
It's a cross. This game plays because it doesn't play like Diablo 1 and 2. It plays like a cross between World of Warcraft and 3.
Yes.
That seems to be what they went for here.
And the amount of dungeons, the cooldowns, I don't know if it's just my class. I don't have a big issue with that. My cooldowns aren't that long. And I find that if you look through your skill tree deep enough, you can find where to put points to lower them. So if that's something you needed to do, you could do that. I think they give you that option.
Well, yeah, you also get cooldown on gear
Gear and buffs on gear too, right? The world events, I think, make it a lot of fun. It gives you something to do when you're just exploring. Like, if you're just running by it, you're like, you know what? Let me take this on. And they're easy enough that if you know what you're doing, you can solo them. Like, they're not like, you're not just getting destroyed on a solo mission doing it. And usually you'll have someone else jump in and help you anyway.
If someone's in the area and they see it, they'll come help you. Generally, it seems like I was waiting for Will to get on tonight, and I went out to the main town, Cabochon. As soon as you walk out of the gate, there's one right outside the gate. So I was doing it, and two people came and helped me. So it's like,
you know,
because you get the obols. That's the whole draw to them. You get the obols, and then you can use those to go to the what's the heck's that, the purveyor of curiosities?
You
can go to the purveyor of curiosities and gamble to get better gear. And one other thing I'd like to talk about when it comes to the purveyor of curiosities, for any of you that have played the previous games, the purveyor of curiosities is basically the person you go to, like in the other games, you just go to, you'll go up and they give you the option to gamble. That's pretty much what this is, except they give you your own currency for it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's exactly what it is. But I like the way that I like the skill set system, the glyph thing. Now that I'm into that, I'm going to see how that goes. The story is extremely intriguing. Like, it's keeping me drawn in, even if I'm missing, the only complaint I have is the syncing of story quests when you play co-op. Because we had an issue where we ran through these. It was saying on my side that I'm unable to complete these quests because I had completed them or I'm not in the story.
Yeah, because we were different. We were on a different quest than the story. So if I joined his world and we weren't synced, only he would get credit for the quest. and I wouldn't. Or then we had to do the same quest over and over again.
Yeah, but what I didn't like was what didn't make sense.
You joined my world to do the same thing. As we kept doing the same quest together. Now that we're synced up, now it works.
Yeah, but what I didn't understand was we did all these quests with you, mm-hmm. and I didn't do any quests in the meantime. Mm-hmm. And then we had to do those exact same quests with me.
Yeah.
It was weird. We were synced up, but it was telling us we weren't.
Yeah.
In a sense. So we ran through the same quest twice, two nights in a row. And it was like, it was all right, you know, but it was good because we could skip the cutscenes, thank God. But,
thank God they added the ability to be able to skip cutscenes.
But that would be my biggest complaint so far is that whole, I understand why they do it, but there has to be some kind of reasoning. Because, like I said, we were synced up already, and it wasn't letting us participate together.
They have to clean that one up. I think that little the way the questing works needs to have a little more polish to it. I don't have an issue. I think the waypoints are very accurate. It tells you specifically where to go on the map, and like when you do different quests in the game, if it's a story quest, it'll be a yellow question mark. If it's a side quest, it'll be a blue square, like a blue diamond.
And you could pin it on your map, so it'll tell you how to get there.
That feature is probably one of my favorite features in the game. If you're looking to go to a specific place, you can open up your map and right-click. I don't know what it is on the controller, but X. You can right-click on your map and pin an area that you want to go to, and it'll give you a line to the most direct way to get there.
Yes.
It's fantastic. If this way you don't got to keep opening up your map. Like, oh no, which way do I got to go? And is that if you're looking to go to a specific area, just right click your mouse and it'll take you straight to it without having to worry about it too much.
You know, and in terms of performance, right? So I have my big gaming rig. I play on just shy of like max settings. I have yet to have any frame rate problems like at all on the PC. The game actually plays extremely well, which I'm shocked, on the Steam Deck. I'm able to play it on the Steam Deck. The only thing is, like, the chat and stuff kind of, like, doesn't work as well, obviously, because, you know, you're limited to your capabilities on that. But I'm playing it even when, like, the screen is covered with, like, 40 to 50 mobs.
Yeah.
My frames per second on the Steam Deck is still around 50, 55. Like, it doesn't drop drastically, which shocked me. I thought it was going to definitely drop. Which makes it not nice when I could, like, you know, play my alt or something or explore sitting on the couch, which is wonderful. They really worked out all the kinks, and there's really no issues with the getting in, getting kicked out. Like, it's happened so rare, I can't even complain about it.
It's only happened to you. I think it's got to be something more with your PC than the game. So.
Well, everything I've looked up, because when it would happen, I would look it up because it always comes up with an error message, and everything says it's the Diablo side. It's not your PC side. So, yeah, so it's something with their server. It might be because I'm on a VPN.
Could be.
It could, you know, maybe that's why. But other than that, I have no complaints. I think we'll end on this nice little story I found, which I think, if this was me, I think I'd be really super pissed off.
I mean, it's a nice little story for us to talk about. It wasn't a nice little story for him.
Right. So the streamer Quinn69, who was playing on, what mode is that?
In hardcore.
Hardcore mode. Had 173 hours into Diablo 4. And there's one like specific bug that happens in this that they're going to fix it now after this happened to him. He had a level 93 character, and what the bug does is when you go to teleport, sometimes it can happen to me. You get caught in that loading screen.
But, and then it boots you.
But it boots you, but your character still stays in the world, which happened to me. But the problem with him was it stayed in the open world, where then enemies killed his character. So basically, he went to log back in, and it told him his hardcore character was permadeath.
Yep. That was it for that character.
Whereas when it happened with me, we were going from one town to another, so I was safe no matter what.
We were going to one town and the other time we were in the middle of a quest in a dungeon.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, he's like, I think I just got booted from the game. And I'm still looking at his character, just standing there doing his little animation, and I'm like, your character's right here. You didn't get booted. Oh, no, I'm out of the game.
But it was during a cutscene. We weren't fighting anybody yet, thank God.
No.
But if I put 173 hours in and like that happened to me, I wouldn't play the game ever again. I'd boycott the shit out of that.
And Act 2 said.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. It was a cool fight, though.
Fun fight. Very, very interactive. I liked how that it moved areas as you were fighting them and stuff like that. That was really cool.
My hand was cramping on the controller.
Oh, my God. Well, because with the way my druid set up, I have the left click is my main attack. And then I have pulverize, which is that big ground pound I always do. Yeah. That's, you know, it's my number two button. So I'm sitting there going like this back and forth. Because as soon as I get enough spirit, I can cast it again. So I'm constantly like, my fingers are cramping.
Yeah, no, it was a fun fight. So far, all the boss fights have been really cool. You know, they're fun. They're in four stages, so it's fun.
That was definitely probably the best boss fight we've had.
So far.
Because what was cool about it is it wasn't for the fact that, like, it was the end of the act fight, but he wasn't overly difficult. Yeah, he hit us for a lot of damage. Like, we could have died easily. But he wasn't, like, overly powerful to where it was like, oh, my God, he's hard. But it was cool, like, he would jump over a log and then you'd have to duck under the log and chase after him and stuff like that. You moved around the map a little bit, like the town you fight him in. Yeah, and it's really cool. Whereas like the other bosses, you're in like an arena and you just have to kite him around.
Out of them.
Kite him around and button mash and stuff like that. Or you're in a dungeon and you go into this room with the fog gates that go up and you just, you know, that's it. That one was a little more interactive and I'm really looking forward to seeing the end of Act 3 and four, how that goes.
Yep, me too, right? So with that, this is our first half take on our playthrough of so far of Diablo 4. We will continue with another video once we finish. After we do the main story, I think we should come back and because I think wait until it cap, we might not even come close to that for a while. So let's get through the story and then we'll come back and see. Well, by then we'll probably be at like level 75, 80, I would assume.
Yeah, especially if you keep getting booted. I mean, you're killing very valuable time there.
Yeah. So expect a special. It'll be a special Diablo 4, like second episode further down the road. Starting next week, like again, I said earlier, we're going to continue back to the old format now that life is back to normal. It was just a hectic 3 weeks with school, with the kids, half days and graduations and school plays and they like cram everything into the last like 2-3 weeks of school.
Ear infections.
Yeah, ear infections. You know, it's been just a crazy 3 weeks and now everything's back to normal. So we have the ability and the time to get back to the old format, which I'm grateful for. And we're going to start that up again starting next week. And with that, like you, we're average too.
See ya.